So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But I'm going to preach it anyway. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 27, and then we're going to Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I'm good. Hallelujah. Mark 3:27. Go there quickly. I'll preach quick if you'll listen quick. No one can enter a stronghold or a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. It just simply means that nobody can come into your house unless they first bind the strong man in the house. And then if he binds you, he can plunder your house. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 16 says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them that end of all disputes. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutable of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope." Somebody say, lay hold of the hope. "That is set before us." Verse 19 is here where I want to kind of zero in on. "This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure, steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." Now, what's behind the veil? The presence of God. And what is the presence of God? It is an anchor unto our soul. So let me go ahead and begin this morning by saying, I don't know about you, but I am tired of watching our kids and our generation and the generation after me walking off in chains. I'm not satisfied with just to stand here and let our sons and our daughters be lost. I'm committed to honoring the past while building the future. I'm going to make it hard as I can for you and your children to go to hell. I'm going to make it as uncomfortable as possible for your children and for you to sit in this church and bust hell wide open. Because I see too much of the church coming into captivity. And we're being bound by non-biblical mindsets, putting the church into captivity, and too many non-biblical mindsets that are becoming the norm for the church. Bound, we have people who sit in our churches, and listen, I don't care. You're at the right place. You're in the right place. But we have too many, and I'm going to put quotations on this, too many Christians who are bound by drugs. Not me. Just prescription. Hey, listen, I'm not against them. I'll take them. I took something this morning. I got up and my nose was running. And when you got a nose as big as mine, man, that's some bad stuff. So I took like three different things trying to get it to quit. But we're bound by alcohol, fornication. Now, I have to say this because something that happens to me 15 years ago, this one guy was living with a woman and they sit on the second row. They've been coming about 6 months and I finally talked to them and said, "Can I be your pastor?" They said, "Sure." I said, "Well, you know what you're doing is wrong." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, I'm sure, you know, you're living with each other. He goes, yeah, absolutely. We love each other. And I said, and you're more than likely, if you're a normal person, been living together for 6 months, you're going to be sleeping together. There ain't a lot of sleeping going on, Pastor, but yeah. And I said, that's called fornication. He goes, wait a minute, what? When you preach on fornication, you're talking about what I'm doing? I said, well, not necessarily what you're doing, but if the shoe fits, right? And so I want you to know that sex outside of marriage, put a period there. Well, I love them. I don't care what you do. Put it, if you love them enough, get married. All right? So fornication, bound by homosexuality. But here's the problem. When you get to the point where you do not allow the Holy Spirit in a service, then another spirit is going to take its place. So we have gotten to the point, now not our church where we're trying not to be, but we have gotten to a point in the churches in America where we don't want the Holy Spirit to move because it might embarrass us. So by doing so, we allow another spirit to come in and it begins to envelop us. Let me give you some stats that I found out. 10% of 11 to 12 year olds report using illegal drugs this week. 21% of high school students binge drink. 23% of junior high students report drinking at least a few times a month. 36.9% of eighth graders say it is easy to get marijuana. 42% of eighth graders don't believe that regular use of marijuana is harmful. Well, I wonder where they got that. From their parents who use it even more. Children who abuse over-the-counter drugs, I didn't even know this was a thing, like cough syrups and pills, take the substances in high doses to get high. Around 48% of ER visits related to cough medicine abuse involve people of the age of 12 to 20. Excessive drinking is responsible for more than 4,300 deaths among underage youth each year. The cost to the U.S. is $24 billion in economic cost. Although the purchase of alcohol persons under the age of 21 is illegal, people age 12 to 20 years drink 11% of all alcohol consumed in the United States. More than 90% of this alcohol is consumed in the form of binge drinking. On an average, underage drinkers consume more drinks per drinking occasion than adult drinkers. There are approximately 119,000 emergency room visits by persons of age 12 to 21 for injuries and other conditions linked to alcohol. 30% drank some amount of alcohol, 14%, 6% drove after drinking alcohol, 17% rode with a driver who was drinking alcohol. Now, I know what some of you parents are going right now. Well, thank God my kids. Well, let's talk about vaping. The Juul pod, now not all of them, but the Juul pod contains 59 milligrams of nicotine, which is 3 times the amount of nicotine in one pack of cigarettes. You can consume one pod consistently faster than you can a whole pack of cigarettes. Research shows that Juul vaping pods is almost as addictive as methamphetamine. Oh, Pastor, ain't that big of a deal. The Florida House Experience Health of the state of Florida states that a Juul is just as addictive as heroin. But it only started with a link. It only started with a choice. See, parents, let me tell you something. They do not need another friend. Your children don't need a friend. They don't need somebody else to hang out with. What they do need is a parent full of the Holy Ghost that will get in their face, love them even though they, and they may even call you strict. Somebody who can be fun and have fun and know when it's time to parent up. See, listen, I believe that I did a good job raising my kids. I believe that. But my kids, and I would play with my kids and I would tussle with my kids and we would joke back and forth, and they would even be, if somebody heard us that didn't know us, they would say, they would call them disrespectful. But they knew when they crossed the line. Why? Because I'd tell them, all right now. Because I knew when to parent up. See, listen, it begins with the way you attend to their behavior at 2 years old. If you just let them run wild, they're going to be wild. You will not change your parenting style. Psychologists say after the age of 2 years of age, usually your parent style is already set. So many of our kids and so many of our parents are in some type of form of bondage. Hell has put chains on so many of us, and hell wants you to think that just because you're bound today, that you've got to be bound tomorrow. Hear me today, that there is no chain that God cannot break off of your life. There is, my God, there is no chain that the Lord Jesus Christ can't break you free from. And so I want to share with you today that we need to be broken from some things, and that you still need to be anchored to something, because hear me closely, everyone is anchored to something. Everyone is anchored to something. Now, here's the problem. Point number one. The problem is not the chain. The problem is the choice. The choice. I could go, you know, and I told our staff, I said, there are so many ways I could go with this message today. But the deal is what are you chained to? What are you chained by? Now, here's the deal, church. Your life is made up of decisions that you make. And every decision has a cost. It's by choice you will determine who your friends are. It's by choice that you will determine who you will hang out with this year. It is by choice who you will hang out with, and who you hang out with will help develop and or determine what kind of life you live this year. If you hang out with kids, or if you hang out with people who do drugs, it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when you will begin to experiment and begin to check out this thing that everybody else is doing. But come on, I come by to tell you that some people did it and got out, and some people did it and didn't get out. So are you going to take a chance? No matter what you think, it is a choice. You're going to begin to experiment. I've seen kids in church who start off good and sweet kids, and somewhere along the line, they begin to hang out, or maybe even just the drama crowd, or begin to hang out with the drinking crowd or the drug crowd or whatever it is, and they slowly are drawn away, and it's all because of a choice. Because choices becomes chains. Every choice that you make. Well, Pastor, one choice is not a big deal. And you're right, it might not be. Because some choices, how many knows that some choices are more larger than other choices? Like the choice, where I'm going to eat today, that's not a big choice. All right? Matter of fact, I already made that choice. So I know where I'm eating today. But who I'm going to marry, well, that's a huge choice. Where I'm going to, what my career is going to be, that's a huge choice. You see, the Bible teaches us that it is a daily battle. You see, it's not a big deal, Pastor. I'm just on Instagram, and I just looked at pornography once. First link. 21% of junior high students view pornography monthly, rather intentionally or not intentionally. Wait a minute. How can you not intentionally? Do you have a phone? I'm going to tell you right. You do some searches on your phone, and there's some things that have come up. I was doing research on the woman at the well. Some of y'all going to go home and do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. First link. Do you hear that? That's how the enemy will set you up. Get you into social media and everybody's doing it and you begin to do it. A link. But that's the way hell works. Because it's just one decision. Pastor, it's only one decision. It's not that big of a deal. But didn't you hear me say that choices is what makes change? But the little choices, Pastor, no. The little choices still makes little change. When you begin to get these choices linked together is when it can become problem. See, the enemy is so smart that he knows that if he can get you to make the little choice, then that compromises who you are, and then today's choices becomes tomorrow's chains. Well, but Pastor, it's just a little thing. Well, but as you live life, you keep making choices. You keep making choices. Come here, help me, Brian. Just chain that on more. Just one. I need this one. Go a little bit tighter. That'll fall off. All right, just stay up. So then you get this chain on you, and you're not as free as you once was. Because of the choices. You just have a seat back there for me. Because of the choices that you make. Now, today's choices becomes the chains of tomorrow. Then you begin, Pastor, it was just only one chain. Here, see if you can tighten that up. I'm not as fat as I thought I was. But I'm fatter than he thinks I am. Don't break a hip, bro. So you begin to get these chains. And the enemy knows that if he introduces you to something now and you do it once, it's a choice. You know, just like that time when your wife or your parents ask you where you were. And you did just the one lie. But now it's becoming a habit. You lied to your wife about where you were or who you were talking to that day. Well, I just didn't want to. I didn't want the hassle of having to explain everything. A link. Just one choice. The problem is the choice then, if you're not careful, becomes a habit. And then when you get into this habit, you become what you repeatedly do. And now you're not who you were. You are starting to become your choices, because choices become habits, and you become what you repeatedly do. The problem is, listen, the problem is some of us would have sat down and told me, Ronnie, if somebody would have told me, Ronnie, the choices that you're making now is going to affect you in your future. And if I would have listened to them, I might have saved myself some heartache. Can I tell you that those of you that are married, those of you that are going to get married, that you got to make right choices, because all of life is connected. All of life is connected. connect me here. So now, my chains are starting to affect the way I worship. Because of what I did and what I do, I don't feel comfortable anymore coming and lifting up my hands like I once did. And then I begin to blame people for why I am the way that I am. Oh, the preacher, he's just changed his style and I don't like it. Or the preacher was never any good and now I've gotten smarter and I know it. Whatever the case is, it begins to affect the way you serve God. Choices become habits and you become what you repeatedly do. So when you make a choice to gossip.
Wait. Can we go back to the drugs? Because I don't do the drugs.
But when you make the choice to gossip or lie to somebody or lie on somebody, when I make that choice and I make it enough times and I become what I repeatedly do, the choice now, it becomes automatic. So instead of telling the truth and getting in a little trouble, I lie about it. And then when I come to God and I come to church, I just can't do like I once did. Because, listen, practice makes permanent. If you practice enough, you become permanent. The choice to get angry becomes a habit because automatic. It becomes automatic to you. And now it's no longer a choice. It's just what happens automatically. And then that becomes your identity. It's not even what I do. It's what I or who I am and what I've become. It becomes who I am. Oh, you know, the liar. Oh, you know. And don't get offended. You know the whore. The whoremonger. Oh, you know, that person who thinks they're a gigolo. Oh, that person who cheats everybody out of money. Oh, that person who will lie to you in a heartbeat. That person, you know, oh yeah, they don't do drugs, but they'll lie to you. Come on, somebody. Now it's not even what I do. It is, has become who I am. The choice to live and cause division between your parents to try to get your way. Now I am having problems and I'm having an identity crisis because now I'm a child of God, but yet I don't look like a child of God anymore. I don't look like a child of God because the more decisions that I make, the more bound I become. And I'm getting heavier and heavier as I put on these bounds. I have become more identified now with my chains than His grace. And I don't even know how I got here. How did it happen? I don't know. It just began link by link by link by link by chain by chain by chain. I didn't look like a chain at first. Pastor, it was a choice. I know. And now it has gone from a choice to a habit and automatic, and then to automatic to my identity, and now it has become the nature. Now it's volunteer. See, point number three is just link, one link at a time. Because church, the enemy will make it seem like it's not that big of a deal, but it's getting you one link at a time. He can change you. You think the devil's dumb, and he is in some ways, but he is very sly. He's been doing this for years. He knows that if you saw the chain, you would run. He knows that if you saw the chain, you would run. That's why he just lets you see a little bit of it. One link at a time. How did you get addicted to whatever your addiction is? You didn't just wake up one morning and go, you know, I've heard about them alcoholics. I believe I'm going to try that lifestyle. No, it started with one drink. How did it, when you got addicted to pornography, you know what? Yeah, let me just check that out. Nobody ever checks my computer. Well, parent, pastor, I just think my kids have their... No, they're 14. They don't have any privacy. Do you want them chained up? Do you want them linked up? The enemy is saying, if I can just get them to make some choices when they're 11, I can chain them by the time they're 17. If I can get them to make choices, then I can have them chained and them really not know it by the time they're 17. And I will let them go so far, but there's always a tug. I will let them go so far, but there's always an anchor. That's why I like church, but I just can't quite get into church, because every time I get to so far, there's something that's holding me. Matter of fact, help me here, Brian. Matter of fact, it's holding me, and I can't go really where I want to go. And matter of fact, at some point in times when I get to that place, the enemy begins to pull me back. And I want to go, but now I can't go because I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I belong to somebody else. I'm chained. I'm anchored to something that is not Jesus. See, if I can just get my wife to look at pornography. I know some of my age are going, what? No. It's a big deal now. Do you know that 37% of married women view pornography on a regular basis? Boy, women just looking straight ahead right now. First time I ever got women to do that. Usually you looking at your husband. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right now, everybody looking straight ahead. Pastor, I do not look at pornography. 50 Shades of Gray. What begins as a choice has now chained you because the devil has convinced you that the little choices doesn't matter. Now when you go to the church, the devil can use the change to pull you back. But pastor, it's not that big of a deal. The choice, we're engaged, we're married, it's a big deal. Parents, if you think that when you allow, here's what gets me. Oh, we allow little Johnny to stay over. I know him and Sally is just dating, but they ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a family. I was at their house, and their daughter and boyfriend was in the house, and I was there having supper with the family. And I could look straight into her room at where I was sitting. And they went in there and shut the door. I didn't even have kids. I went, why? Because I'm a dude. Pastor, I'm a dude. I know. I have sexar and radar and gaydar. And so I looked up. I go, her name was Miranda. We ain't filming right now. I said, Miranda, and I forget his name. They just went in her bedroom and closed the door. Yeah, we like giving them their privacy. And then about 3 months later, she came to me. My daughter's pregnant. I went, no duh. I wasn't as full of wisdom as I am now. I would go, really? But because of the choices you made, now you're going to try to lift your hands. You're going to try to worship God, and it's just not there like it once was. But pastor, I want to be free. Good luck with that. Because now you're anchored to something bigger than you, and you can't get free by yourself. Pastor, I got to get free. Good luck with that. Pastor, you just told me that there's not a chain that the Lord can't get me free from. There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. See, because listen, here's point number four. Your praise will either break your chains or your chains will break your praise. But I wish that I know what I need is the Word of God. The Word of God, yeah. That's what I need is the Word of God to break this bad boy. But the problem is, you see, that's where we come. We get the whole Bible. You don't know any of it. And so you burden yourself. Wait a minute. Are you saying this correctly? Yeah, hang on. You burden yourself saying, I got to know the whole Bible before I get free. Ah, I'm just so tired. Ah. See, what you need sometimes you just need to reach in your pocket. And take out the word that you really know. Pastor, I only know a few scriptures. It only takes a few. Because if you can take the scripture and surgically begin to cut away at what is holding you. Come here, hold this other area. See, you need to make surgical decisions. Now, I don't want you to bring out your big buck knife. Now, this is a bad boy here. Now this knife's pretty sharp. This is a big deal. But see, as you can cut a little bit surgically with the scriptures that you personally know. You're trying to use the whole Bible and you don't even know how to swing it. And then you begin to praise God. And then check this out. Your friends, that's why the church is so needful, begins to help you break free from the things that once had you bound. Leave that on there. And they begin to break you free from the things that you have bound or that once bound you. And you begin to worship. And some of you are at this stage today. And I'm telling you that you have the ability to turn around. Because there are so many of us that have more chains on us than Mr. T. I'm showing my age. Only a few of y'all know who Mr. T is. The enemy wants you to think that you can never get free from your chains. But I'm telling you that God is a chain breaker. And we need, once we get free, we need to swap. We need to swap, here, we need to swap who is holding our anchor. You need to swap from the devil having your anchor to Jesus being the anchor of your soul. Because I can tell you that Jesus, oh, I'm not hooked up, hang on. I thought I was hooked to an anchor. No, hook me to somewhere. I thought I was hooked to the anchor. I thought it was kind of long. So then, when you hook to Jesus, when Jesus wants you to go wherever he's leading you, then that's cool. That when he gets you to a place in him and he wants you to stay, then it will keep you, because an anchor is just to keep you from veering off course. So when Jesus is your anchor, you was about to walk down this other path. And, oh, wait a minute. Jesus is... When you're about to lose hope, when you're about to go down for the last count, but Jesus has you anchored and you recognize and realize that I'm not in this thing alone. But you got to make sure who you're hooked to. So my question to you today is, who are you hooked to? Who is your anchor? Because come on, Jesus, come with me right now. Because here's the deal. In these uncertain times, you've got to know, you must know, who you're anchored to. All hell is breaking loose, but yet I've got an anchor. Pastor, the enemy is coming against my finances, but I have an anchor. Pastor, my wife may have walked out on me, but I have an anchor. My kids ain't right. I have an anchor. My boss treated me like a rented mule, but I have an anchor. Who are you anchored to? Pastor, I'm tired of being alone, so I think that I'm just going to get involved in this relationship because I'm just so tired of being alone. But I'm anchored. I'm anchored. Vicky, who got married, said, hang on, baby. Hang on. That's great. Hallelujah. Hang on, baby. Hang on. This is one of the things in the veil. Remember verse 19, our text? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I've come by to tell you that Almighty God is in the veil. There is only one thing in the veil, and that is Almighty God. The devil can send storms, and the devil can send havoc, and messes with us, and moves us around sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm out in the bay. But man, if you got a good anchor, the winds may blow you. But they're not going to move you because you're anchored. Now, here, let me tell you something. It's the same thing if you're anchored to the devil. You come to church and the Holy Spirit might move you and blow you, but you stay anchored to the wrong anchor and you're not going anywhere. You just have a false sense of freedom. God's come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Come discouraged, unhappiness, but the anchor holds. I don't care how low my finances get, I have an anchor. I don't care if I have to bury some of my loved ones, my anchor holds. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. Somebody needs to say that. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. I'm anchored to something that will not let me go. Let me tell you this. And whatever you're anchored to needs to be bigger than you. Needs to be bigger than you. It needs to be able to hold you when the storms of life. It needs to be able to hold you even when you want to go somewhere, but it holds you. But that's why it is so important for you to be anchored to the right anchor. Is anybody getting this? But here's what he said. See, the boat's not holding the anchor. The anchor's holding the boat. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. When Adam and Eve sinned, they should have been taken out, but God showed up. Look, there are times that you should have been taken out because, not Satan, but because of your choices. Choke up. But God. There have been times that you would have fell off the cliff. There you go, Jesus. You would have fell off the cliff. But God. There have been times that you would have lost your mind, but God. There have been times you wanted to throw your hands up and quit, but God. Something had you anchored that was bigger than you. Thank God for the anchor. Thank God. Who are you anchored to? Who are you anchored to today? That's right, tell them. Who are you anchored? Help me out, get that out. Had it not been for the Lord, you'd have died in your sin. But God. The devil has been beating you up. Just remind the devil who you're anchored to. Pastor, I'm not sure if I am anchored. Then let's make it right now. Let's make sure that your anchor holds. Make sure that your anchor is to Jesus and not anything or anybody else. God is rich in mercy, and I have my victory because my anchor holds. My anchor has two words, but God. But God. Come on, sing that for me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.